Call the July 18th, 2023 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and state the time.
Great, 7:10 p.m. Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Kobe is absent. Commissioner Schneider?
Here.
Commissioner Spector?
Here.
And President Spain is absent.
A through B are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items? I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
You have to second.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Snyder?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Right, Mills, knees.
Okay, it is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. Is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment?
That would be you. Do you want to talk to the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on up. You got 3 minutes.
I apologize for the delay.
No sports on right now. Hi, my name is Chris Bass. I've been living in Glencoe about 11 years. From Highland Park originally. My wife works in school. She hates when I'm vocal. She's very more quiet. I have an 11-year-old son. He plays baseball, played a lot of the program. Dumb stuff, fun camp, you know, everything that Glencoe supports, we support. I personally played baseball in college, we live near West School Park, so we're on that field playing field all the time. I grew up playing baseball on that field. Back about 2 or 3 years ago, right, I think during COVID, I saw a sign talking about the West School project for the park renovation at the time that was being under consideration. There was talk for escalation of potentially turfing part of the field at West School Park. The baseball field, I know, has been in sort of disrepair, I'd like to say, since I was a kid practicing on it, nothing really changed. You've got a few L screens now that are out there, which are nice, but the playing surface is really almost borderline unsafe with the way the dirt lays, the grass, even with the best maintenance. I know that I see the guys out there mowing the field, but it's not even in the condition that the field back here is. I know all of our youth programs play there. There's a little grass field behind it. It's a nice, large green space. So I was hopeful at the time. There was talk. It was sort of pre-approved, and I believe, you know, the funds were allocated elsewhere. I don't know the exact ins and outs of it. There were concerns also of health for turf, for the little black bubbles. You know, people don't like, people are concerned about those. Totally understand that. And just for me thinking for sports, youth sports in particular, not just baseball, but softball, lacrosse, soccer, football, everything that can be played on turf, low maintenance, year round, no weather delays, all of that, having a single turf field in our town would be a great resource for the town. All of our neighboring towns, Winnetka, the Skokie Playfield, Northbrook, every town has a turf playing surface for youth sports and it's heavily used. They never have to play anything. Well, that did their own West Park renovation, significant turf fields there for goalie use. We don't have anything like that. I just sort of wanted to check in on the status of that. As I see every week now, it seems like it's not every week, but a new park goes up in our town, or new big renovation, I don't know how much, hundreds of thousands, $1 million, whether it's a lakefront park, it's the latest, or the tennis court to replace, full major turf area, the West School playground, huge turf area, but not one of our playing fields in our entire town is turfed. And if there are concerns about health, why can small children who are crawling on it be safe for them, but not kids who are 8 to 16 years old be safe for them to play on it, both these sports year-round. And we're spending significantly, and I imagine it's coming from the parks, and a mix of private donations. I know it has time running out for these parks. I know some of them are privately funded, but and I know last time when I was here a few years ago, there was talk of if it wasn't funded, we could raise private funds for the turf for consideration either here at Take It or at West. But somehow these other parks, numerous parks all around town, pretty much in every block, keep getting turf, but not the playing field. So I know there's a significant number of parents of kids who play youth sports that want to keep their kids in Glencoe to play those sports, but to be honest, once they get above 7 or 8 years old, move their kids to neighboring communities because our facilities, from a sports perspective and playing fields in particular, for those outdoor sports, are not up to par, especially as kids start getting to play better beyond house league level. And there are more than enough fields left, take if you name it, that I think could accommodate that, and it would also benefit the town from registration, keeping kids in it, lack of not having to do as much maintenance, and it would pay for itself, is my hope and my feeling. So on behalf of all those people who are signed up here today, I would like to just re-raise that issue for consideration, because I think it would be a great benefit to our town and our youth, athletes of all ages.
I thank you for your feedback. There's going to be a survey that goes out. That's for our 5-year plan, so I encourage you to fill that out, have your friends fill that out, because that's what we're going to be basing our decisions on. We really want community input, and we want to know what the community wants. So that's the first thing I encourage you to do. We did go out for a grant the last 2 cycles on West Park, and we did not get that. We did decide to go ahead with Lakefront Park because those tennis courts were in horrible shape, and it's been on our list for a long time, and it was deferred. And so at this point, there was no choice. So all of these things are on our radar for sure. We've considered turf. We've gone after donations. We'd be happy to take a donation for that. But yeah, that's what I would encourage you to do. But it's definitely on our radar. It's not something that we haven't talked about or thought about. And we did try with these last 2 rounds and didn't happen. So, you know, as we go forward, though, you know, please encourage people to fill out that survey and share their thoughts.
Is that different than the survey that I don't think it's on the agenda, also the community survey? Is that different than the 5-year survey?
So that was the villages. Okay. So Park District is a separate taxing entity.
Okay.
So we're conducting our own survey on recreation amenities.
Okay.
So that is a different survey. It'll probably come out in the fall.
Okay.
At some point, not sure. I also took his name for a focus group also.
Oh, perfect.
So,
yeah, that'd be great.
As a youth group. So.
Thank you for that suggestion. I would love to be involved in any focus groups.
Mm-hmm.
And even one of the suggestions I made when I met with Phil Corrali a month or two ago to talk about some similar matters, and I know I have time here, was the idea of just maybe forming, which I would also happily sit on, a sports committee as one of the committees from the village meeting. You know, they have the golf committee, mm-hmm. the diversity committee, I think library committee, but some sort of youth sports committee or some sort in our town, I think would benefit all of the members of our town, people with kids, to take care of our sports initiatives, whether that's part of the Park District or part of that those council or...
That would be part of the Park District. Anything sports related is Park District, not the village. So, yeah, we'll take that on advisement if the board wants to move ahead with doing an advisory committee. We have advisory committees for Watts and the Beach and things like that, so.
Yep.
We have a basketball advisory as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know you guys did the basketball court at Central. It looks great. A little slowly, but it looks great. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, 4 months of the fiscal year are complete. The report is available on the board packet, and John will share a synopsis of the report and answer questions.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So as far as the standard monthly report goes, I'm going to kind of forego just going over June results because we're at the point now where we are able to get our Q1 projection summarized. So this is the first time we've kind of looked at it on a fiscal quarter basis, updated our projections. I believe one of the earliest times that we've been able to get our projections updated as we stand here the beginning of fiscal 24. So I just wanted to first off thank all the staff for their work in pulling together the projections. We were really asking for this information during a very busy time for our recreation parks department, so nonetheless they did make the time for it. So these projections are as of May 31. We worked on them mainly in the month of June, and then we're here to summarize the data here tonight. So I just want to go over a brief recap on our budget process and budget timeline. So as you can see from this slide, it's really evolving into a year-round process. We had a meeting on May 10th where we kind of went over expectations in terms of projections and in budget amounts for fiscal 25, believe it or not. So that was done in early May. And then, as I mentioned, we were updating our projections into the month of June. And then this past Friday, the 14th, we really essentially kicked off our budget, fiscal 25 budget. In addition to the projections, we're really starting to look at the budgets now for our next fiscal year, leveraging some of the resources we have internally to make it a more efficient process using our ERP system to help us do some of that work to get some of this projection data again more in real time too. So pretty standard timeline from the prior year. As a reminder, we'll present the draft budget to the board toward the end of January, early February. Ultimately, that budget is approved at the March board meeting. And then the budget appropriation ordinance is approved in April. And we need to have that ordinance filed with the county by the end of May. So this is just a very high level summary, and I'm sorry if you can't, I know it's a little small, but I'll get into the details of this on the next slide. But this is just a very high level summary. There we go. So this first column here on the left is what we had budgeted for. And then this is by department and fund. And then the second column is what our projections are sitting at. And then the column next to that is just the difference between the two. So what I really like to point out here is if you look at our major operating funds right in the middle here on this slide, we had budgeted in excess revenue over expenditures of about $861,000. We're now looking at about $1,277,278, so a difference of $416,000. So that's good news. And you might be wondering kind of what's driving that, and kind of a big increase getting into the first quarter. And I'll say a very big part of that is interest income, and really what we're seeing what works our expectations are for those rates now to close out our fiscal year. That's a little more clear than it was in January. I'll get into a little more detail on that. But that has had a significant impact on that. And then primarily labor costs that have been driving some of the more favorable outcomes identified in our major operating funds also. Below there, we have our non-major operating funds. Not too much of a shift between those. Again, those are mainly funds of interest income, so not too much of a shift from that perspective. And then our capital project funds down here, our three capital project funds, are sitting about $380,000 better than what we had budgeted for. Again, I'll get into the details as to why here on this next slide. So, for the previous slide, rec programming itself is looking better than we had projected, and it's really our just increased revenue that we're able to take in to the tune of about $156,000. The biggest contributors to that increase would be Kinder Corner, Sun Fun Aquatics, and Camp Adventure. So again, our rec programming, our camps are performing very well. As I mentioned, though, interest income, we ratcheted that projection up to $655,000 this fiscal year, which if you would have told me that 18 months ago, I definitely would not have believed you. So at the beginning of the year, when we were kind of finalizing our budget, there was a lot of thought there that the Fed could potentially reduce rates in quarters 3 and 4, calendar quarters 3 and 4 of 2023, so we were a bit conservative in our approach and tried to anticipate a potential decrease in rates. And in this past meeting, actually, of the Fed in June, they did not increase rates, but they referred to it as kind of a hawkish pause, meaning they're going to be watching the inflation number very closely. They still want that number below or at around 2% is where they ultimately want to be. So there's a consensus that there's going to be about a half rate increase from where we're at now through the end of the calendar year. So we're a lot more confident in ratcheting up now that interest income. projection to get us to between 5.5% and 6%, which obviously has a pretty big swing based on the cash investments that we have right now. That's about a 3/4% swing from our original budgeted amount, which was a little over $400,000. So that is certainly very welcome news. The key there is we don't want to become reliant on this money and absorb it into our operating budget. From my perspective, this is exactly what would potentially be transferred into Fund 69 to fund future capital projects. So certainly good news from that perspective. And you know, I think we could plan for or start to think about a transfer to Fund 69 given the very positive interest income that we've been receiving so thus far this fiscal year, and that we anticipate to receive through the end of the year. As we look at the labor market, so Children's Circle in particular, we're projecting out to be better than what we had budgeted for. We're actually looking at potentially over a little over $100,000 in excess revenue over expenditures, which is good news on the surface. Definitely from a short-term financial perspective, that's good news. A lot of that does have to do with labor, though, and I will say we have seen some improvement in the labor market for sure. There was actually a point this year where we had all of our full-time teacher positions filled, which was phenomenal. So if you think back to when we added those 9 additional full-time positions because part-time staffing was such a challenge, you know, that certainly is where we're seeing the fruits of that now and having those positions filled. Though there is high turnover in those positions, I believe right now we have two open full-time positions. So when we have, you know, those lapses, and also when you look at the part-time wages, so the folks that are working part-time for us in Children's Circle, when they're out, it's unpaid, and a lot of times the full-time exempt staff will help to pick up the what needs to be done in those situations, which isn't ideal. We want those positions focusing on what they should be focusing on. But they certainly step in and help out, and again, that has a positive impact in the short term, but certainly not the way we want to operate the program in the long run. In addition, on Children's Circle, we did have some favorable health insurance elections. As you might recall, a few of the commissioners will recall, we rolled out that insurance buyout in October of 21 for our 2022 calendar year, and that has helped us significantly in achieving savings on our health insurance costs. So that's really contributed to the improvement that we're projecting out in Children's Circle. Some positions still continue to be a challenge. Parental coordinator is one main one that we are really looking to fill, but again, overall, some very positive movement in the labor market overall. The beach on that previous slide showed a 40% decrease from what we were originally budgeting for. So that one was
40,000.
Much smaller percent. So that $40,000 is, as we had talked about, in previous meetings this fiscal year, pass sales have been down. They were down to the tune of about $56,000 through the first quarter. That was offset with some reduction in labor costs, and ultimately we're sitting at about $40,000 deficiency in revenue over expenditures. Again, as we looked at, the weather hasn't been doing us any favors either. As I looked at our daily pass sales for the month of June, we were at about half of what we did in June of 22, in June of 23. So it really, I think that kind of points to the pass model and the importance of that pass model. And had we not had that, what the weather's been doing to us, we could really be seeing a much larger number. So I think that pass model really helped to offset that. And hedges our risk as it relates to weather, which is obviously very, dependent on the year. final thing I just want to touch on here, so as I mentioned, $380,000 for the capital project funds, better than what we had budgeted for. $220,000 of that is related to the Lakefront Park project. I mean, we did come in significantly under budget. We're fortunate there to come under budget. That was about $220,000. We also received about a $77,000 grant from IDNR that was actually for the work done on the trail a couple of years back, and we weren't certain we would be receiving it, so that check did come in. So that that combined with ratcheting up our interest income in the capital project funds accounts for that $380,000. So again, overall, I think through quarter one, some very positive things to report, and really the interest income is a story. The labor cost and certainly Lakefront had a significant impact on the now better than budget projections that we have. Just want to point out quickly here regarding our capital project funds. So as we had budgeted for, we did transfer that $1.4 million, $850,000 from the corporate fund and $550,000 from the recreation fund in June, so this past month, and we were holding off until we had our final audited figures. Once those were completed, we did proceed with that transfer. So with that transfer and combined with the better than budgeted projections that we have in the capital project funds, we're anticipating ending fund balance in the capital project funds to be about $2 million this year. So that's certainly good news, and that could be higher depending on how soon the state pays us for our first reimbursement on the park grant for Watts. That's going to be $1.25 million. We still have it. We're still not to the point of being able to request reimbursement, and then there's certainly, we need to wait on the state in terms of how quickly they turn that money around to us. But hopefully we could potentially get that too, which would put us at about 3.2 then in a fiscal year. We'll note that that does also include the take of sinking roof fund, so we would have to offset it. That balance for that, which was about $300,000 last year, and it's going to grow as we approach really fiscal 29 and fiscal 30 when we anticipate replacing the roof. One more thing from a capital perspective, Watts is, Kyle can certainly provide the details on the project itself, but overall it's not budgeted and we're looking good from that perspective. And then just a quick update on property taxes. If you recall last year, there was a significant delay in receiving our second installment of property tax revenue due to a computer compatibility issue with the county assessor's office. So happy to report that thus far, we have essentially received our first installment for the 2022 levy. So we budgeted a shade over $6 million, and year to date we're about a shade under $3.2 million. So we are in good shape from that perspective. Typically, we have gotten our final rates right around this time. We have historically, prior to last year, been able to report on final rates at the July meeting. Those are still not yet available, but I'm optimistic those will be out pretty soon. And that's going to be important because that's going to obviously tell us what our final extended rates are based on what we levied. But it's also going to tell us what our new AAD is, and we're anticipating a very large bump in EAD due to the triennial reassessment. And really that's going to have the biggest impact on our special recreation fund because the levy for that is really tied to a percentage of our EAD. So we'll keep a close eye on that. Again, we're hoping those rates come out soon and we're able to report on EAD and rates at our next board meeting. As far as the second installment goes, again, last year we did not receive those funds until December or January. Historically, we received them in August and September as they're due in at the end of July, or they have been. I have not gotten any firm information on when we might be getting the second installment, but certainly not anticipating it to be as late as it was last year, maybe slightly delayed. you recall for the first installment, they did provide a 1 month delay, and I'm assuming they might be following that for the second installment. So hopeful that, you know, early to mid-fall we'll have that second installment and be in good shape from a property tax perspective. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions as it relates to the projections or anything in the financial report for June.
Don't go deep, it's really a superficial question. So when the tax revenues come in, about how many different transfers in is that? Is it three or four big ones, or 20
yeah,
smaller?
Yeah, typically three or four big ones.
Okay,
perfect. It's really 2 months where it's rolling in, and we'll get some. Like we'll get it periodically throughout the year. A lot of times it's related to very small, related to refunds or a prior year levy, just some minor things. But when the property tax money does start rolling in, it goes. You'll have 4 or 5 days in a given month that it's just, you know, most of it. And that goes, actually doesn't go into our operating account, it goes directly into an interest earning account, which is right around 5%, you know, so we're absorbing that as quickly as we can and putting it to work.
All right, thanks, sir.
I would like to note, for the Children's Circle, where you see that in that surplus right now, don't get attached to that number, because that number, there is other expenses going in, such as health care if we hire new staff and things like that, but also some security enhancement in that wing. Mm-hmm. So that is a possibility to use some of that money to directly impact children down there. As we get our security audit back, we would be able to move a little faster on some of those things because of that excess fund. So at the end of the year, you might see far less as we spend down those.
Yeah, basically to that point too, we haven't really seen the full effect of bringing on those full-time positions and the pay time off that they're going to be receiving. They're getting to the point where they'll start earning some of that and being able to use it, and that will also have an impact on our expenditures.
How many positions?
So currently there's 2 full-time positions that are open right now. I think we're pretty close on a couple of them. Again, the labor market has improved, or we're getting traction with candidates.
Are those both teaching, or was there still a cook open, or did we fill that?
Cook, we're hopefully going to fill here pretty quickly. We were able to finally, about a year and a half later, fill the extra front desk person, so an additional person getting. And we're very confident that we're going to fill this full-time assistant to feed positions pretty quickly here.
I mean, even with those deductions, we're still in better shape this year than we've been really for the past 2.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, minus the grant revenue. Yeah.
So it's positive to see that. A lot of positive things in your report.
Thank you, John. That's so very nice. Go ahead.
So, on back a few pages, I think it was 2023 was 1.45 million transfer to capital spenders, and then projection is 1.4 for next year. As I look at that, if I combine those 2 numbers, that looks like it's bigger than any 2 years in the past. I understand we've had inflation, but so the funds we're generating for capital expenditures, either internally or externally, are as good as they've been.
Yeah, what I would say about fiscal 23 then is I think a lot of that was COVID carryover. We had really braced for the worst. You see that 3,000 in fiscal 22, so we had really braced for the worst and didn't do anything out of the rec fund, whereas it turned out we probably could have done something out of the rec fund. So we kind of got that caught up in fiscal 23. And then our rec program really started booming coming out of COVID. And so that's, you know, I think where we're sitting at the 1.4 million now. Next year, interest income is probably going to, be able to contribute. I'm not ready to say we'll be near these levels. We still have to obviously get into our budget process and see where we shake out with our final amounts this year. But, you know, again, I'm optimistic that we'll be in pretty good shape. But, you know, again, back to our comprehensive plan meeting in May, our operating expenditures were definitely much higher than where we've been in the past too. So we're having to keep pace with that, and that's going to eat away at, you know, the potential transfer that we make to 69.
And that's a good point, to look at 22, 3, and 4, including that 300,000 and average.
Right.
So, okay. All right. I'm glad I asked. Thanks.
Thank you, John. This is the first area actually we gave a quarterly projection like this, so we thought this would be very helpful as we start planning our budget. The staff is already doing that. In October, we'll start our capital project planning again, so all this information is very helpful as you begin those discussions and our comprehensive plan discussions. So thank you, John.
Okay. Executive Director report, Lisa.
Great. Okay, so I'm just going to, I know you probably all read it, so I'm just going to highlight some of these things. So the brochure is a little bit delayed. It'll be in the mailbox on Thursday. So that was on the printer's end of getting that out in time, not our end. But the brochure is fully online, and communication did go out today, right, Bobby,
yeah,
on that?
Multiple times.
Just saying, hey, the brochure is coming, but they can look on it online. So the 27th is when we started registration at 7 in the morning. We had some little hiccups last registration. We believe those are all fixed and internally with our software providers. We will have our annual take-up closure, so the office and the building will be closed August 14th through the 18th. Just like last year, we'll have our phones on. They'll go to voicemail, but Lauren will be checking them and directing any calls to the appropriate people who are not on vacation. And then same with info to Glencoe Park District. Any emails come in, those will be forwarded. This time, a lot of staff take vacation. I will be taking that vacation a couple days in that week, but there'll be someone here to answer any questions during that time. But this allows us to really do a lot of the maintenance without the public getting in the way and be more effective, efficient with our annual maintenance of the building. Lakefront Playground, obviously, thank you all for being at the opening. The tennis courts are looked to be lined this week, right? This week or late next week?
Next week.
And the tennis stations were put in, right, for the tents?
The footing for four and the anchors were set, so the poles will be installed.
So we're looking probably a week and a half, 2 weeks before those are up and operational again. So very pleased with those two improvements in that park. Independence Day celebration, we thought it was very, very well attended and went off without a hitch with all of our both safety and safety enhancement and just the general enjoyment of the park. Does the board have any suggestions for improvement? We talked with the village, we talked with staff. Any suggestions for improvement from the board for either the 3rd or the next day, the 4th?
I thought it went really well. It was really crowded. I mean, more so than last year, for sure.
Isn't that crazy?
And it was definitely a lot of non-residents, which is fine, just I'm sure we all noticed that. I mean, it was packed in there, but I thought it went well, and the fireworks were amazing. Those are one of our best years for sure.
That was, as you recall, that's a new provider, and we are trying to book them for next year already at hopefully the same prices. So we were very pleased with them. They were very easy to work with, and obviously the product was great. So
we didn't use. So did we use them last year or no?
So they purchased a company we used two or three years ago, so they were bought out. Melrose got bought out by them, so they're technically a larger national organization. So they had a lot of experience.
Yeah, they were great, and I'm sure the food trucks were happy because there were long lines the whole time.
Long lines. And yeah, Nate's already contacting more. Actually, this has become a sought-after event, so all those trucks were happy to be here, and we feel like we can add one or two more next year too. They all made enough money to make it worth their while, so.
For sure.
The other things that, you know, we closed off the overlook this year because we put the stage at a different place. Minimal complaints. That was such a big safety enhancement. We were really nervous last year with the amount of people on there and pushing, so that worked out very well. Opening up the park to better facilitate getting people out and just spreading people out was another security enhancement. So the village did a great job assisting with us with public safety and traffic control. There's a couple things that we're working on that end about drop-off and things like that, but minor. Other than that, we thought it went great. On the 4th, we did the race. It was well attended, children's games. We see a little decline in those numbers, so we'll be talking about that. We'll definitely do them next year. We'll talk about see if those bounce back or not. But other than that, we were very successful. And we did not participate in the parade this year, and that's maybe something we'll do in the future, because it's very, very expensive for us to put children in the parade with the amount of staff we have and paying double overtime and things like that. So other than that, nothing else?
My only suggestion would be maybe on the tennis courts having a little bit more activities, like a, you know, a blow-up slide or something, because kids are out there for a while, and there was less this year, and I thought maybe because of the construction, that could have been part of it, but that's my only suggestion.
We have a lot of issues here for children, and not having the adult supervision, getting quite aggressive, and people pushing, and we removed that because it was causing some major challenges, although it seems to move a little bit more to the playground this year. So we'll reevaluate.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll go back to the inflatable, just given the amount of staff it took to keep control over the individuals that were on it, but we're evaluating that.
Yeah. We did talk about other different activities, maybe more old-fashioned games for older kids and things like that. We're not going to do the bounce house. We had a couple broken arms and, you know, inappropriate age groups mixing, so.
Yep. Understood. That makes sense to me.
Just want to highlight, the camp is going very well this year. The counselors are amazing, as I've heard them in the building. Their patience is incredible with the both the air quality issues and then rain in July. I get to hear them a lot in our building, and they're doing a wonderful job. I know it was brought up last month, the week before school starts, we're having a hard time finding staff to do before, like the week before care program for our youth care program, Kids Club. We are going to offer a half-day sports camp from 9 to noon. Hotshot Sports is going to do that. But it's always a challenge. The high school kids go back, the college kids are gone. So we haven't given up. The team's really good. They haven't given up, but it does not look good for a full camp. And we give parents plenty of notice. Hopefully they save their vacation week for that week. But beach season, while we would like to see the weather get a little better, this week actually hasn't been too bad. We've been having nice warm weather. July has been historically very rainy, I guess higher than history, and then the air quality. So we are seeing less beach attendance. But they keep on. Hopefully, next couple months will be fine. We do plan to stay open all of August. You know, in the past, we would close the third week and not have the bathrooms open. Our plan right now is third week of August, August 14th. That's when all the high schools go back. That we're going to try to keep our guards on as much as possible. We'll still charge during that time. We'll have the bathrooms open, things like that. So we'll keep open until Labor Day, and then after that, we'll look at weather-related when we can open the beach house and things like that. So it's a little bit changed from last year. Kids Club, we have 10 kids on the wait list, and Bobby is trying to get them all off. So we're hiring staff now, and hopefully they just did, I don't know if you're on social media, just did a big staffing push for that. So
I think that was successful. I think we got some good candidates, so hopefully we'll be able to work on that this week.
So kudos to them for not giving up. Anything I missed or one highlight, Bobby, in rec?
No, we're excited about the program registration. We're anticipating that to be strong again for the fall.
Great. So then we're going into our major projects we're working on in the capital projects. Cribwell staining will start next week. So that shouldn't block any of the roadways, correct, Kyle?
Just
they're kind of on the side working on saying get the staining. You know, it looks great as it is right now. Do you want to go tell them a little bit about the other projects we're working on?
Sure. Let's touch on the fund, how we're wrapping up the color coding. Obviously, lots of things going on right now. It is moving along nicely. We kind of benefited from June being extremely dry as a result of weather delays to the project. July will all start off a little wetter right here and cause us any significant delays. So we're trying to inch closer to getting under the roof so we start to focus on some of the interior finishes and really start to bring the building together. If you haven't been over that direction recently, it's worth taking a drive by or a walk by all the structural steel is done, so you can really start to see the the footprint and cool. profile of the building from Randolph. Absolutely, kind of yeah. see what the
Go
design and scope of the new space will be.
This being anticipated completion?
Expected substantial completion is the second week of November, so we're planning on full completion by Thanksgiving or opening of the ice cream Friday after.
Definitely. You might still have some cosmetic internal things for the main building, but it'll definitely be open for the ice
yeah.
season.
So, everything is right now going along according to plan within budget and expect a substantial completion to be as planned before Thanksgiving. So, other than that, just a question on the crib wall, and phase two of crib wall will start after Labor Day.
Excellent. August 1st, we're going to do our efficiency committee meeting. So we have three citizens who will join the board in starting that kickoff meeting, which is mandated by the state of Illinois. So 7 p.m. So please make every effort to be at that meeting. And then we will have a committee meeting after. It shouldn't be too long. We just want to get some input on Lakefront Survey to get any information you may need to for the next year for making decisions about how we're going to do our past sales and things like that. So. Other than that, the last thing is that we had a donation inquiry from a family that would like to know if we would like to accept a donation of two sculptures for our park, and I put the sculptures in the board packet. They actually contacted the village and then asked to have it sent to the park district and the library. The library has passed on both pieces. If you would ask staff, I think the indoor piece, the bicycle piece, might be a little too delicate for community center and the way people use our lobby. I don't know where else we would put it. And the other outdoor piece, I believe the only location I could see it is going down the old Green Bay Trail, where we have our other sculpture. You can make a sculpture area. It's just if the board thinks that's appropriate or not.
Yeah, that's the only place I could think of. You're talking about kind of close to veterans.
Yeah, I get closer to veterans, that whole area. And that's if you decide it's appropriate for.
The top piece is a little, maybe yeah. not appropriate.
It's a little eclectic.
It's a nice word for it.
It's a nice word for it. So. It's a very nice piece. I don't know if it would be appropriate for a park sister.
The bottom piece is definitely appropriate.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. It's very delicate.
I'm just afraid it would, in our lobby, balls go flying.
Yep. Something can...
So, as I hear you, so staff is thinking the first one could go in the parks, but possibly take a pass.
It could go in there, but I don't know if it's appropriate to.
Okay.
That's for the board to decide.
And so the first piece, one place you're thinking is like by the, was it Breakwater?
Breakwater Sculpture.
Okay,
yeah.
And the three benches yeah. or something.
Yeah, there was thought at some point doing, should we do like a, almost like a sculpture walk along those, that trail. And some like St. Charles does this whole sculpture walk and it's beautiful and they bring in different sculptures yearly as display pieces and they buy it and then they keep on building up their sculpture walk. And we've never really vetted that whole idea, but that's been talked about. So if we were to put a sculpture in, that would be the area I would suggest.
What is the first one? It's kind of blurry. It's a person kneeling.
I think it's a woman kneeling and with her hands over her head, yeah. It's called Tranquility.
My personal opinion is I would pass on the first one. I think the second one's nice if we wanted to accommodate this resident. I mean, it fits our mission of activity. And if it breaks, then, I mean, it was a donation, you know. But if you guys wanted to consider it, I think it's appropriate.
I agree with you. I think if it breaks, again, it's hard to tell how durable it is from a picture. Mm-hmm. It does not look durable from a picture, but
no.
I mean, anything can break in our lobby. The kid chucks a basketball across the way, so I would say that I would agree with you. The first one, I just can't
portrayed in love. Okay.
I have a feeling someone will complain.
Yes.
Or get upset or something with their child being in it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not worth the
castle.
Castle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So, just so I understand, so you're thinking the first one, the top statue wouldn't be appropriate inside.
Or outside. Yeah.
Okay. So you're
putting it in a park where there's, you know, kids running around, I don't know, and then even putting it in that little sculpture area, that's just one giant sculpture, then you have this thing off to the
side.
And
right.
To me, it's not the same material, it would look a little off, and...
There is our library's not interested, but the library director said if we weren't interested in the second one, that I think Highland Park or Deerfield, I'm not sure which one, has one of this artist's sculpture in their library, and they might want it. So it's not like it wouldn't go. I'm sure someone would take it. So don't feel like, oh, I have to take it, or they don't know what to do with it. Just if you think it's appropriate.
I think it's appropriate, and it can't hurt, and it's a resident, and if they want to enjoy it in another space. I mean,
okay.
I don't really know their personal story behind it, but, I mean, it's definitely appropriate for the park district.
Okay. Well, where I could see this going is in our lobby. When you come in, there's like that little alcove by it. It's kind of off the side, and it could face up by the window, so it could be viewed from the outside and inside. Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a consensus the board would like to entertain accepting that donation?
The second one. The second one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So that's inside. The only question would be, for me, it's less the risk of breakage than more could somebody get hurt with it, or but just nobody could go climb on it or something. So.
No, I think it's too delicate to be climbed on, and it would be off in the corner, so I think it would be fine.
Yeah, placement is important. Before the park district put in the Linear Park, I really didn't like the breakwater statue at all. I'd walk along the road, you know.
Yeah.
It's like scrap metal. When the path went behind it, I thought, I like that statue. It's really nice. It's a perspective that you see it from.
Yeah.
And I guess that in the bottom one is more easily movable.
Yeah.
If you've got a place in the lobby you're comfortable with, I mean, I would support that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll reach out to them then. Last thing is that the August board meeting is during our shutdown, and Watts is closed. We don't have room to move to an indoor meeting, but we can absolutely do a park tour. Stephanie told me that she is not available. I did not hear from Carol or Michael. So
this is the 15th.
This is during our regular scheduled board meeting, which is...
I actually messed up because I think my work conference is actually the 16th and 17th.
I'm sorry. It's the 15th.
So yeah. I may be available.
Okay.
Because I checked my calendar again today, and it says 16 and 17, so I just have to confirm.
Okay.
So I would be here.
I'll probably be out of town.
You'll be out of town?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not for certain, but it's
okay.
Highly probable.
You're in town? Okay. So I'll find out before we do anything, you'll let me know, and then I'll find out from Michael and Carol if they're in town or not.
Okay.
Before we proceed. And I we're happy to do a park tour even if there's a quorum of three, especially if it's Jordan Carol, who haven't seen been on one before. So that'll be pretty much just be Kyle and I will take you around and show you different things and show you the baseball field they're talking about and things like that. So it's always good to have that visual going into capital projects.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Any other questions on my report?
Can I just make one suggestion for the catalog?
Yes.
I got an email from Broadway Bound, and that was great because I wasn't even thinking about fall or registration, and that got me to ask my daughter, like, do you want to do that? So can we encourage other vendors to do that to help with registration? Because it just seems like everyone's so busy, and I don't know. And with the catalog being late, you know, if you
to
have...
To send out an email?
To send out emails, because that really helps people start talking about their schedule and Broadway Bound.
Yeah, that seems to make sense. So Broadway Bound is one of the only contractors who sends their own emails because it's so specific. But it seems like anybody else makes sense to do that. I think that would be a good idea for people to remember that.
Can we send a general email through ours?
We have that one as well.
Yeah.
I didn't get it. Did you send it today?
No, last week. Yes,
okay.
We might send another one. I'll follow up with Tracy to see when the next.
Send another one out to all the anybody who's participated in classes last year. Okay, we'll do that for sure.
Because you know.
So I thought we did.
We need lots of reminders.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Lots of reminders.
Any other questions? Okay. We're ready to move to action items.
Okay. I entertain a motion to approve the annual treasurer's report for fiscal year 2022-23 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Okay. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve that no notification be given to Perderma Health Program regarding termination, and in doing so, that the district remain with Perderma Health Program for another 3-year period as presented.
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Motion passes. I entertain a motion to approve the purchase of one Rivada RTV from Burris Equipment under Sourcewell contract number 122220 KVA in the amount of $31,833.05 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Schneider?
Yes.
Commissioner Spector?
Yes.
Motion passes. Okay, any other business?
There is no other business.
Is there any reason to go into closed session?
There is not. On my end?
I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes.